Louisa Branscom, I think, is in that legend category. She would never admit that. 40-plus years ago, she wrote a tune called Steel Rails. It's taken on a life of its own. I think probably our most recognized version is Alison Krauss and Union Station. The song has been redone, remastered, not in the sense in the studio, but new masters have come to reinterpret Steel Rails. That's now been released on Compass Records. The list of guests on the recording is just amazing. And these are people who wanted to contribute to a song that they heard and were inspired by. A short list: Tina Adair, Dale Ann Bradley, Alison Brown, Becky Buller, Stuart Duncan, Sierra Hull, Kimber Ludeker, Molly Tuttle, Missy Raines. There are so many great people that have come back to redo Steel Rails, a classic. In the second hour, Louisa Branscom will tell you much more about the song, how it came to be, and songwriting in general. Louisa Branscom has been a guest before on Unreal Bluegrass, and I always enjoy it because of her depth of knowledge and understanding and seeking in her craft of songwriting, which is really amazing. Here's a quote, by the way, from Sierra Hull. Steel Rails was one of my favorite songs to sing as a girl. I fell in love with the song and the imagery it instantly brings to mind. To be a part of this project all these years later with Louisa is such a great honor. There are so many more. I'll try to sneak some of those in as the program goes, but without any further ado, as they say in the big time, this will be Louisa Branscom, the new release, Steel Rails. I am really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass one of my favorite songwriters on the planet, Louisa Branscom.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be here with you tonight.
It's great to be here. I see you often. I probably see you more often, Louisa, than I actually have you on the show, just because, Raleigh comes and goes, and you're there, and I'm there, and I see you often, and sometimes you have your dog, and sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Sometimes I have my horse.
And I have a wonderful opportunity to speak to you for this program. A really interesting, it's almost like all the stars are lined up, and there's an anniversary of a song, at least the recording of a song. One of yours, Steel Rails.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
And it's been airing on Unreal Bluegrass. It'll be the second week when people hear this interview with you that we've been airing it. And I want you to tell the story, go in as much detail as you want to, but... this song, I heard it first. We were talking before we started recording. I heard it first from Alison Krauss live. I didn't know who she was. It was probably about the time she recorded this, but the Union Station band was as one of those ones that people can remember if they saw it, but it was Adam Steffi and Barry Bales and Tim Stafford, and Alison Brown was on banjo. And that's when I heard for the first time Steel Rails from Alison Krauss. But this is a new version. I've heard it. It's a wonderful version. I want to talk to you about how this has all come together and all the great artists that you have on it.
Great. Well, so should I just jump in?
Sure.
Okay. I would not normally think of doing a song again, but I wrote Steel Rails in 1971, which is around 48 years ago. And Allison's version was, I believe, in 1990, so we're coming up on 30 years for that. And I think a deep feeling I have about songs is that they move us and they teach us. So even if you're listening to a song, you know, that song is going to move you and it's going to teach you something. It shows you what you feel or what you're thinking about or where you need to go or what's hurting at the time, and it puts things into a focus. And even as songwriters, it's even more true because we listen to what songs have to say and what people take away from that. And I have to say, of all the songs I've written, I've learned more from Steel Rails than any other song. And I think... So over the years, I don't have the philosophy that I write songs. I only have the philosophy that I set the stage. And if I am right with myself and the universe, then and set the stage right, there's so much to be inspired by. So you will write a song, and you look for that deeper connection with other people. And so in a way, I've like been, what happened with this song that made it connect to so many people over the years, that it's connected people to other people, or it's connected me to people in other countries, or other musicians who have sung it and have stories about it. I've always wondered, well, what is that? And that if I could capture that, I would have learned from this song a whole lot about songwriting. So I have looked through it over the years, and as we were getting this album together, Missy Raines and I were looking at material, and I thought, what if we did a revisioning of this? What if we did a new version that somehow captured, like, a musical history of what the song has been for some of the people who have been singing it since they were very young, who are our current generation? And so I am kind of a shy person, but I started reaching out to people who I knew, I had heard from them personally, that they had been, this song had influenced them. And amazingly, they all were so excited about the chance to sing the song and pay homage to Allison that way, and what she had meant to them, what the song had meant to them, and to collaborate with their peers, other folks among us who over this last 30 years have, you know, come along in the music beside each other. And so that's in a nutshell what happened, is that there were these stories about steel rails I would hear over the years. And it occurred to me, what if the people who were influenced by it did a brand new version, did not try to copy, but rather put it in their own hands, you know, just extraordinary talents like Sierra and Molly, Jeanette Williams, and all the people on this track. What would we come out? You know, what would come out of that? What would be the chemistry that came out of that? And I couldn't be more pleased at this. It's very different, very visionary, very much a reflection of the people on it, and very much a reflection of me now too. The song was a reflection of bluegrass back then. And of course, she had heard it on one of my albums too. That's how she got the song. And now it's a very fresh, very different version in the hands of people who, you know, sung it 20, 30 years ago.
Who were inspired by it. You know what?
Who were inspired by it.
Yeah, when you got into this telling the tale sort of thing, one thing that I made a note of, and I want to come back to this, you mentioned to me, and I've never heard a songwriter put it this way before. Your comment was something to the effect that you always like to see what you learn from the songs that you write.
Yeah, I've never heard.
So this song is out there, and it's a completed piece of art. And then you learn from it as it comes back to you in all different ways. I've never heard of that before.
Well, you know, I've never been, I don't know, I think, you know, songwriters get pretty ego invested in our songs, and as I've grown older, I've learned that's not the way to learn the most as a songwriter, or deepen our connection with themes that mean something to people. What I've learned is be open to what the song has to teach you and what other people have to teach you. So, here's an example. A friend of mine, Richard Sikorski, he is a phenomenal banjo player. He's from the Slovak Republic. And he's played with Dale Ann and other people and done a lot to promote bluegrass in the Slovak Republic. And he told me when I first met him, he said, "Louisa, this is the first bluegrass song I learned. I was 10 or 12, yeah. And we were under a communist regime, and we had to go out into the wilderness, into the hills, to play American songs, and this is the song I remember playing."
Wow.
And that is stunning to me. And then I have, so I'm 22 years old, and Nancy Cardwell sends me an MP3, I don't even know if that's what it was back then. She sends a tape of Steel Rails sung in a foreign language that I had a hard time finding out even what the language was. It was a different country, small country, or even what it was like to run into Allison the night I learned she recorded it. Songs transform people, And we do best to listen to how they do that if we want to try to be a good writer. And it's not the only song that has taught me a lot, but it is one. And it's for someone to come up to you and say, oh, I know what you mean, and this was so meaningful to me because it helped me to learn it, you know, it helped me get by a bad experience or something. And they tell me what it means. Maybe it wasn't even what I meant. And as I grew up, I learned that's not what's important. What's important is you touched on something that's a universal chord that other people can resonate with. So as a songwriting teacher, because I love to work with writers, it's a challenge to me to try to figure out why so many stories about this song, why so many YouTubes, what is it, you know, because all I did was tune into something.
That's, I've never heard, this to me is just, you know, and I've talked to you before, and I haven't talked to you specifically about this song, but this concept that you keep coming back to, that how not just the fact that other people come to you and say, hey, a song meant something to me, or Steel Rails, we had to go out to and be protected and play it and record it, but this concept really, the song that you write is talking back to you over the decades.
It's talking back to you, and it's talking back to you through the voices of people who heard it.
I've never heard that. That's a gorgeous way. I've never heard this type of analogy to songs and the songwriter and what they hear back again. This is going to cause me. I'm going to have to think about this a lot when we're finished because it's such an organic thing. The song is, I'm not going to beat it into the ground, but when you said that, I just made a note that I had to come back to that, as well as I know you and have talked to you in the past.
Yes, we have talked a lot.
Yeah, we have.
About this.
Yeah, I've never had, we actually talked about songwriting once because I think it's mm-hmm. a fascinating topic. That's just amazing. So Steel Rails is out there coming back and being revisioned by other people, and this anniversary date of this recording comes up, and so now we have this version of Steel Rails.
So we have this version.
Yeah.
And the one other thing I'd like to add to that is
sure.
a little bit more easy to, I think maybe not quite as deep a thought, but, you know, I grew up riding trains, and I've always thought it was kind of a cheap trick to write a train song. And, you know, it's in that song about a country song, where, you know, railroads and trains and mama and all that. But I got to thinking about it. It's okay because I rode a train for 2 days before I was born. That was my first train ride. And my mom was pregnant. I was the first born. And I hadn't been born yet. And she was riding the train from Nashville, where mom and dad lived, to New York because my dad had gotten tuberculosis. And that's where they had the fresh air cure. So right around the time, and I know I can get a little, you know, I'm a pretty practical person, but the truth is my heart was beating, learning to beat, and I was learning to hear sounds. At the time, I rode 2 days on a train, and, you know, must have heard some kind of muffled sound of what the rhythm of the rails and my mom's voice and the whistle. And then we got to New York, and we ended up living two doors down from the train track, and the train came 4 times a day to deliver people from all over the country with TB to this treatment facility. And then we left when I was 2 and went back to Nashville, and then Birmingham, where I rode the train to Nashville all the time. So Union Station is a part of my life. Trains are a part of my life. I live in the country now. I hear the train every night a couple of times after midnight. And it just turns out there are 3 or 4 train songs on this album. And I just want to say it's not a cheap trick. It's what inspires me. You know, I really think that my heart is a little confused. It thinks it's supposed to be like the rhythm
on
a train.
That's amazing that you even connect on that again. I think, yeah, sure, why not? Why isn't that, in fact, what's happening?
Well, Dale Ann said, she said, Louise is the best son the train ever had. And I thought, you know, Dale Ann has a way of saying things. And I thought,
she does.
Wonder why that is. That's why I started thinking about that.
it's in your soul.
Yeah, I think it's in my soul.
There's a train track
and
in
I
your
think
soul.
It, Yes, and I think that the trains show us a lot about how to be in life, because even Steel Rails, that line about looking up ahead to keep my mind from turning back.
Yeah.
Well, trains, you know, they go where the tracks go. They don't try to go off in some other direction. It's like they accept what their destiny is. And they just do it, man. They're like the original Nike, commercial. They're like, just do it. Just take the bend, take the hill, take the curve. Go to the station, say goodbye, go to the next station. And trains have a lot of, I think, the symbolism of trains is just very powerful. It's been very powerful with me.
There's a lot of freedom on a train for the reasons that you just said, that you're on the train and you're going where it's going, but also it allows you to separate from where you were mentally and physically before the train started, and the train is in control, like you just said. This is an interesting concept.
The train's in control, and you can trust it, and you can let go. It teaches us a lot about acceptance, because you're on the train and you get this reprieve. You know, you get this chance to be carried along by the train while you figure out what's next. And maybe you don't even know. It's just like Steel Rails, looking up ahead, you know, to keep my mind from turning back, or winding through the trees like a ribbon in the wind.
And you don't have to make all the decisions, because in effect you can't.
You can't. And how often do we really trust in life? Not all that often. And I think there's something to be said for surrender, you know, to the train and sometimes to life when we're not in control, and trust and faith, and then keep on moving. You know, people say, well, what did this line mean? What did that line mean? I'm not always very good at saying what it means, because, you know, it's supposed to be said best in the song. But I do know that the line that Allison liked when I asked her, I think in about 1991, well, you know, what was it? Because she heard it on my Boo Soul album that I recorded in 1974. She must have heard it around 1989. And I asked her what drew her to the song, and she said it was that image of winding through the trees like a ribbon in the wind.
Wow.
And how that just rolls off your tongue, and that image, that visual image.
This is... Louisa, this is getting so thought-provoking to me, but I'm not going to keep you on the phone for a day, but I think we could break this down phrase by phrase, and every time you would, and you're right, you shouldn't have to explain what the people should hear it and interpret it for themselves, but still, this concept, no wonder it's such a great song. No wonder it's such a great song.
It may have been an accident, but it's an accident that I've tried to listen to and pay attention to.
Some of those are the best things.
I mean, I was so young. What did I know? What did I know? Nothing, you know. I was 21, and Mel wanted me to come to Nashville. I'm like, no, I want to play a banjo, you know. And besides my hair, I can't do the bouffant thing and those high heels. Oh, my gosh. Long straight hair at the time I was a hippie, you know.
And we were talking off the air about Mel Tillis when you said Mel wanted me to come to Nashville. That's what you're talking about. The listening audience won't know that. Which to me still blows my mind that you can reference that if you want to, about maybe when the first time you kind of played this for. Well, that's a great story. If you wouldn't mind repeating that, we were off the air.
Sure.
We were talking about that. Go ahead.
Well, yes, it's a real important story from, because, you know, when you're young and dumb, you don't know who you are, and
I wish you would stop that. Go ahead.
Well, when you're, well, okay, well, I'll say young and naive.
Okay.
that you need other people, you know, people talk about, well, I talk a lot about, you know, remembering people need validation. Like, when you're young like that, I didn't think of myself as a songwriter particularly. I knew I wrote songs, but, well, so what's up with that? I've been doing that since I was 5. So it was just what I did, like breathing. It would be like walking. So when Mel heard the song from his bass player, Larry Lee, and invited me to come down to Nashville, he said, we're going to get together at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, that's kind of early. And then he was kind of stuttered, well, that's when we're going to get together. And I said, okay. And I went down there, and I played him songs from 8 o'clock until about 1 o'clock. We might have stopped for some crackers, but I'm not sure. And I played 50 or 60 songs.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, his patience was so kind, and his willingness to listen was just, that took me into a new world of recognition, maybe, and validation. And I remember Pam was very young. I don't know if she was even a teenager. And this is 1972 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, or one. And he listened and took notes and drank a whole lot of black coffee. And then at the end of that, he gave me feedback. He told me the songs he liked. He gave me advice on how to be a better songwriter, and he, which I will never forget. It was right on. And then he said, you know, you need to move to Nashville and write for Sawgrass. And, well, I had fallen in love with the banjo, and again, I was just naive. And I just loved playing bluegrass, so I stayed in North Carolina, didn't go to Nashville. But he recorded Steel Rails. He had already recorded Steel Rails, so I got to hear that. And then he assembled his pickers, and we went into the studio, and I sang tracks on demos for five of my songs. And those have passed on as Sawgrass, sold down through the years. But I will never forget that. It was one of the things that really stands out for me was his generosity and his support.
And like you said, you were young and naive. We won't say stupid, but it was validation.
Yeah.
It was validation for you from somebody like Mel Tillis who listened to your songs. He wasn't just there to say move on to the next one. He actually listened and paid attention, and that must have been a wonderful validation. We'll use that word again.
Yes, and I was new in bluegrass, and I knew that I didn't, know a whole lot, and I didn't think of myself as a songwriter. I wrote songs, but that isn't the same as, oh, I must be a songwriter. And Mel helped me a lot with that. A few other people did, Raymond McClain Sr. and a few others, Buck White. But those were the three who said, Louise, you are a songwriter. You need to do this.
Good advice, and I'm glad you took it. So the new, which we've been talking about, this new Steel Rails with all these wonderful people, are we hinting at an album? You've talked about this a little bit during this discussion here on the air. Will it be part of it? I know it's out now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no hinting. All hitting aside, there's definitely going to be an album as long as we can. It's going to be released this summer, probably August. And
good.
I'm very excited about that. And it's got lots of other songs, of course. But we wanted to get this out just because we're excited about it and of the anniversary of this, and paying homage to Allison, really, through this song, and kind of coming full circle, and the amazing energy of the collaboration of these artists who came in and just blended and, took off from each other's playing and singing, and how that all came together in such a seamless way, in such a blended way, and the you can tell the heart of everybody, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely. And isn't that something that after this time on this momentous, we'll use a big word there, anniversary, this is when you hear these people who are now coming back at this talent level, and you've mentioned some of the people on the song, and they are giving back to what they heard when they heard Steel Rails.
Yes, they're giving back, and I think they're saying, hey, here's where we are now. This is how I would say it now.
Yeah.
I used to sing her version. This is how I would do it now, because these are such gifted artists, as the people we have mentioned who are on it, which there's a long list I'm happy to share. But is hearing it in their hands and giving them the freedom to reinterpret it so it fits with today's times and is very, very different. Not trying to copy, just trying to give them the freedom to be who they are.
Yeah, well, and that's what you have to do. You have to let them, now that they've matured and heard it and come back, and they want to tell you what their voice has to say about what they've learned. I just think it's been a remarkable, of course, the original song is, but this recording, to me, yes, it's wonderful. It's being aired, and it's a wonderful thing to bring everybody. I just think that's great. When you talk about learning from your own song, then you learn from this other recording where all these people that have, in fact, heard it and made it part of their, part of their soul and their heart and music, and now they're coming back to say, this is what I want to say about it in my way. I think it's wonderful.
Yes, and I think it goes back to what we said first, which is it's the heart of the song. And yeah. if you can tune into the heart of the song, I was Misty Raines is my co-producer. She did a wonderful job of helping me sort of, you know, we almost had to have a Ouija board or like it was like a big puzzle fit the folks, fit everyone in a way that the song flowed and developed and then ends up with that really unusual ending. And everyone, I think, listened so well to everyone else while also putting their mark on it. And that was just so exciting to have happen. It just flows, and I can't wait to see if people can recognize who's singing on each verse.
It's recognizable if they're listening and paying attention. I recognize
yeah.
it. It's just nice that they're so nice at passing off what they're doing and respect
yeah.
for each other. That's just a wonderful event.
I'm
so glad you got it done. I can't wait to hear the album in the when it comes out this fall, August or whatever.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
Do I have a couple of the songs? Did you give me once?
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
We had a limited release of a song called Barefoot Girl.
That's right. That's right.
And then we have waited over the last few months with that, but we did, and that is Becky Buller and Russell Moore doing a duet on a song about
right.
that I wrote about growing up in Alabama, and then Becky shared on the co-write, and it's got Clawhammer on it, so. But everything else is a surprise. Yeah. No one knows what's on it yet.
I don't want to give away anything. But I remember you gave me the single of that when I saw
yeah.
you a couple of years ago, and I played it often. It's just Barefoot Girls. That's the name of it.
Yeah. Great. Yes, it has been being played. Yeah,
yeah. Cool. Very good. Louisa Branscombe, thanks so much for all of these new ideas you put in my head about about songs and from your perspective as a songwriter. Learning back from the song again, I've never heard it put that way. Now, every time I talk to songwriters, I'm going to see if they will fall into that. If I lead them that path, will they tell me that their songs speak to them over time?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me know what you
I will. Well, I will. I'll see you. I'll let you know. I'll keep a chart. I said I often have
okay.
songwriters on. I'll let you know who, because and for this song to have that impact and then come back and speak to you still, and it will continue to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, Louisa Branscombe. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, bye.